This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios all the way from the east coast of Canada is singer-songwriter David Miles, who's got a brand new record out called So Far. David, welcome to JPR.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
You are a long way from home.
I certainly am. Yeah, but I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying my time out here. It's been cool.
Let's have a little geography lesson. Explain the Maritimes.
Maritimes are made up of New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, and Prince Edward Island.
And you are from which one?
I'm actually from New Brunswick, and I live in Nova Scotia now. So, and then Atlantic Canada includes Newfoundland. Can't forget Newfoundland. So that's the only thing. That's the only confusion. Atlantic Canada and the Maritimes are actually slightly different because Newfoundland is not part of the Maritimes. And I'm learning this. I host a radio show on CBC. and it's East Coast music, and I can't say the word Maritime because, of course, it includes Newfoundland music. So it's not Maritime music. It's everything.
So if you say it wrong, you put some people off.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to get back to the radio show hosting because you could just take over for me and do this
whole
thing
right.
Yourself. Early on, I read that your big aha moment with music was Miles Davis.
Yeah. Totally.
It wasn't a folk singer. It wasn't a guitar player. It was Miles.
It was. I grew up playing trumpet. I was a band nerd. I was a school band guy. I played from, probably the time I was 10, I think, is when I picked up the trumpet for the first time. And I got really into it. Like, I tried piano lessons. It didn't do anything for me. There wasn't much pop music or modern music around my house. It was mostly classical. Mm-hmm. And then I bought my dad this record for Christmas. It was one of those Christmas presents that I suspected I might like it more than him. I got him a Cannonball Adderley, something else, that record.
Miles 1958.
Davis, amazing. Probably my favorite, still among my favorite jazz records ever.
Well, it was basically a Miles Davis band record under the name of Cannonball Adderley.
It's so similar to Kind of Blue in terms of vibe, in terms of aesthetic and what he was going for, the beginning of cool and that whole vibe. It's so awesome. And so I got that record, and my dad said, "Oh, I hate jazz." And then I went, "I think I like this." And then it basically changed my life. I sat and listened to Autumn Leaves, the first track on that, and I learned it note for note. And then it just opened up my world. And then Miles led to a whole bunch of other jazz and everything else. And then it actually eventually led to guitar music by way of Willie Nelson.
Yeah, and that's really interesting because despite the love that you had for jazz, you didn't go to school to study jazz. You didn't have any ambition of being a jazz player?
Well, I totally did. It's funny that you mentioned that because I had the ambition, but there was something that changed. Like, just before university, my parents never wanted me to play music. They never wanted me to play it professionally. And I swear, I always said I was going to. And then the minute they said, "Oh, it's okay, you go and study music," I went, "Ah, it doesn't sound as interesting anymore." It was like the rebellious element was gone. And I always thought, the idea of being in a practice room 8 hours a day, studying jazz, there was something about it that just didn't work for me. And then I started writing songs. And it was only a couple of years after. And that's when I went, "Oh, this is how I'm going to engage in being a musician." I'd always been a musician. I'd always loved music. But once I kind of got rid of the idea of being a professional trumpet player, I went, "How am I going to do it?" And it was by writing songs.
And when that switch went off, you were in, of all places, China.
That's right. You know me
right?
Well. You're good. Yeah, I was. I was studying Chinese for a year, my third year university.
Was that your rebellion to your parents saying you could make music?
No, I was. I don't know where that all came. I did an exchange in high school. I lived in Belgium for a year in high school, and it was such a valuable experience for me that I really longed to do it again. As soon as I was in university, I looked for another year away, and it seemed like an even more exotic destination. But of all places to start writing folk songs, I didn't expect it to happen there. But it really did. It started because I read this article. Miles Davis said his favorite record was Redheaded Stranger, and I went, "Oh, I should check it out." And I got it, and it changed my life. I bought this $30 plywood guitar in China, and most of the songs on that album are three chord songs that you can learn them quick. And then I started singing and playing guitar, and it was game over. I was completely hooked.
Well, the new record is called So Far. We'll get to that in just a minute because it is by no means a debut, even though it is relatively new to us here in the States, and your music in general is relatively new to us here in the States. So you were in China about a year, if I understand right, and you came home with the idea that you were going to start making folk music, and you saved up money and moved out west. Where is west? Where did you move to?
Well, during my university years, I was working in Yoho National Park. which is one of the Rocky Mountain National Parks, just west of Banff National Park. And so I worked there throughout the summers. And then when I knew I was going to pursue music, I figured the first thing to do was to make a little bit of money. So I went out there and I worked a winter. This is a really rad spot. It was a spot that you couldn't drive to. You had to ski up. It was 12. There was 12 guests at most and 3 staff.
Oh, wow.
So it was really isolated. So I worked up there, saved a bit of money. Also, really practiced, wrote a lot, and did all those things. And then I got home and made my first record. So that's where it all kind of began.
And that is many records ago. We will get to that in just a minute. David Miles is my guest live today on Jefferson Public Radio. His new one is called So Far. What do you want to play first for us today?
Well, I'll play a song called Need a Break. It's I don't know, it makes me feel like Elvis when I do this one. It's a fun one. I love the kind of early rock, late 50s stuff. So it's got a bit of that energy too. So break from the noise in the middle of the night. You need a break from all those boys you just seem to want to fight. You need a break from being lonely, break from playing games. You need a break from shaking hands, faking interest in the names. I believe you when you tell me your time is running out. I can see it in your eyes, I can tell that there's no doubt. You need a break, you need a break. You need a break from paying bills, a break from paying rent. You put all your money on your loans and you can't make a dent. You need a break from early mornings, break from your alarm, a break from your boss, wouldn't do you any harm. Your temper's getting shorter and your mood is getting bad. If you had a bottle of genie, be the only wish you have. You need a break, you need a break. You don't need new clothes, don't need a new car. You don't need someone telling you how lucky you are. You don't want to rent a movie or go for a run. If you had a list of things to do, you'd only write one. You need a break, you need a break. You don't need a doctor, don't want to take pills. You don't need the diagnosis because you know it so well. Let's say take your time and ask yourself why. Well, you already have it. You told yourself, I just need a break, just need a break. A break from the hassle, a break from the hype. You need a break from going in and out of fashion overnight. You need a break from keeping up, a break from feeling down. You need a break from all the traffic on your way across town. You need a break from people telling you what's right and what's wrong. No one seems to want to listen to what you've known all along. You need a break, you need a break. You try to learn to paint, you try to learn to sing, you've tried to meditate, you've tried everything. You read Walt Whitman and the Tao Te Ching, and you're still missing something, still missing one thing. You need a break, you need a break. You don't need a doctor, don't want to take pills. You don't need the diagnosis because you know it so well. Let's say take your time and ask yourself why. Well, you already have. You told yourself I need a break. Just need a break. Just need a break. Just need a break.
That is David Miles live here on Jefferson Public Radio. It's a song from his brand new record called So Far. Thanks for that.
Oh,
it's fun.
That's fun for me.
You are a dapper fellow, and there's a story that goes all the way back to a conversation and an agreement with your dad, if I understand right.
You know what? And I'm breaking a rule. I'm almost casual at this point because I took off my tie, which
sir,
I never do. It was just a little warm down here. But
sir, no. I am casual. You are dressed up nicely.
Well, still, this would probably be breaking the agreement when I have with my dad. You see, I got 3 older brothers, and they're all doctors. And so I came from a really strict family. It was totally strict, and that's what my parents wanted, was all their kids to be doctors, I suspect. And the first 3, it worked out perfectly. And then I came along, and they thought it was going, I went to university, right? I didn't study music. So they thought they were in the clear. I was going to study political science. And they thought, maybe you'll be a lawyer. And I led them on. I did my LSATs. I was ready to go, you know. And then I discovered songwriting. And, well, actually, what happened is I went and worked in politics for a year. And I always joked that after a year in politics, I decided I needed to write love songs. And so that's basically what I've been doing. I started writing love songs. And then when I told my parents that, they just freaked. Naturally, they were terrified.
Yeah.
So I made a deal with my dad. I said, listen, if it's going to make you happy, I'll wear a suit to work every day. So that's what I do, man. Every day I go to work and I put on that suit just like he did. So,
you know, at some point in the future, there could be an honorary doctorate.
That's what I'm looking
awarded.
For. I know. Right? That's what I'm thinking. It might be my way in, the back door.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we know So Far, but this is by no means your first record. This is like your 9th album or something like that, right?
It is, yeah.
First of all, how does this compare to the previous 8 collections of your songs in general? Yeah. I know that you've got a couple of outliers I want to get to in a minute, but in general, is this pretty much the way that your music has sounded along?
Well, you know what? I think it's actually how our music is. I say our because for the last number of years, I've been playing with the same guys live. So what I would say is it's how my music sounds with the guys I play live.
Okay.
And I think for many years with each project, I would be inspired by different things and it would involve different players. And so each album had a different character. And when I thought, okay, well, now we're starting to promote my music down south of the border in the States. How do I do that? What do I want to do? And I thought, rather than making a compilation with different players on every album or on every song and different recording techniques and all those kind of things, I felt like, you know what, the more I started making records, the closer I got to just playing in a room with the people I play with all the time, without headphones, without isolation, totally like we do it when we play live. And I found that once we did that, it was a real breakthrough for us. It sounded like we sound. Not necessarily like I had sounded on record, but how we sound when we play together. So that's why I decided to redo the songs. I re-recorded songs from each of those 8 records. And I kind of went, oh, these are the ones we play live the most. We recorded 29 songs. And then I thought, if we're going to do this, we got to do it right. Put my best foot forward. And so that's what we did. We re-recorded them so there'd be consistency between them.
So it's sort of David Miles, so far, the best of collection, David Miles and his band.
This is kind of what I thought. You know, the reason I called it So Far is because I kind of thought, well, it's, you know, it's so far in my career. It's kind of a best of, but it's a re-record of those songs. And it's the ones we play live. So rather than bringing 8 CDs on the road, I thought it's better to have one record. And these are the songs that are most likely going to be part of the show and that kind of thing.
Why did it take you so long to expand south of the border, as you say, into the United States?
Well, you know what? I mean, I've toured down here a little bit here and there, but this was the first time that we decided to make a concerted effort. I think, first of all, it was that we've been really busy in Canada. I tour, you know, between 100 and 150 shows a year in Canada. And we've gone to the UK a few times and to Australia. But it was more that we had some shows coming up that were booked, and it just made sense to go, you know what? Let's do it now. Let's get the right record out. Let's promote it as who we are right now. And it just kind of came together. Also, I had to save a little bit of money to make sure I could do it, you know, so I could promote the record and put it together.
In addition to this being a collection of songs that you play on the road with your band, at least some of them, from what I've read online, have changed pretty considerably for you over time. Like When It Comes My Turn is a lot different now than it was when you were first doing that song.
Well, yeah. I mean, in some ways it is. It's a song that I've been doing forever. I've finished almost every one of my shows with that song. You know, it's a real standard in my repertoire. And so it is, some of those things kind of evolve over time. You know, that one hasn't changed too much in terms of tempo or anything like that. I think the arrangement kind of changed because it's just less drum oriented. It all changes with players. It's also the reason why I love making music, is that you can make it. I love making different records with different players. It just felt like as an intro to people, it made sense to play with the people I play with all every night.
Yeah.
But I do love, I mean, my last record I made with a guy named David Pilch, who's played bass, who plays with Joe Henry all the time and lives in LA, and Cassandra Wilson and Kevin Bright, who played Norah Jones. For me, that was a dream band, right? I just like, I got all these incredible session guys and we did it and it was beautiful. Every record's a different experience, you know, and I like that.
And you have made a couple of records that are way outside of the norm for you. We'll get to in just a minute. David Miles is my guest live today in the JPR studios. His new record is called So Far. Will you play us another?
Yeah, sure. I'll play a little, play a slow jam for you now. It's called Turn Time Off. Whoa, love, your eyes shine brighter than the stars above. And I don't have to search to find you, 'cause I'm lying here beside you tonight. And it's night, it's like tonight, that remind me just how fast time flies. Oh, I can't think of anything better. If I could make this last forever, I'd try. I'd tell the world to stop spinning round. I'd tell the stars to keep shining and the sun to stay down. 'Cause a night like this hasn't come around in so long. Turn time off, I'm gonna turn you on. 'Cause I've been away and I've got so much that I'd like to say. But I'm gonna leave it in my head. I'm gonna leave it to be said on another day. 'Cause we both have better things to do. And I feel just like I did when our love was brand new. I don't have to say a word for my love to be heard by you. I'm gonna tell the world to stop spinning round. I'm gonna tell the stars to keep shining in the sun to stay down. 'Cause a night like this hasn't come around in so long. Turn time off, I'm gonna turn you on. Gonna turn time off, I'm gonna turn you on. Whoa, stop spinning round. Gonna tell the stars to keep shining and the sun to stay down. 'Cause a night like this hasn't come around in so long. Turn time off, I'm gonna turn you on. Gonna turn time off, I'm gonna turn you on. Gonna turn time off, I'm gonna turn you on. Gonna turn time off, I'm gonna turn you on.
That is Turn Time Off. It's David Miles live today on Jefferson Public Radio, a tune from his brand new record called So Far. I have been saving this. I wanted people to hear you perform a couple of tunes live before I drop the bomb. You have the biggest selling rap song in the history of Canada.
Yeah, I mean, I can't take all the credit for it. I can take some of the credit for it for sure, but because I sing the hook. I mean, I wrote the song. I wrote the song with Classified. Classified's a rapper. It's under his name. It's a song called Inner Ninja, and it indeed became the biggest selling Canadian hip hop song of all time, which was a crazy, crazy experience.
Now, do you know what it surpassed? Like, what's the second biggest Canadian rap song?
I think that the Waving Flag by Kanon.
Okay.
Do you know that song?
Yep.
That was an Olympic theme song or whatever. It was a huge thing during the Olympics. And so, yeah, it went quadruple platinum in Canada, so, which was a lot. And it was just this thing that, honestly, it's the coolest thing, because Classified is a guy who's been making records for a long time. He's an independent rapper. He makes records in his garage. He's got a studio in the back of his garage. He lives by the airport in rural Nova Scotia. We're really good buds. I had sung a couple hooks with him before, you know, where I'd go in and sing a part, and he'd go, oh, I love that, and then he would turn it into something. With this one, I came in. I'll play it for you. I came in one day, and I went, you know, I just kind of went, I read the rules before I broke them. I broke the chains before they choked me out. And I paid close attention, really learned the code. I learned to read the map before I hit the road. And he went, oh man, I love that. That's how it went. That was the hook. I had this thing hanging around and I didn't know what to make of it. I didn't know how to get kind of turn it into a song that would work for me. But I liked the groove, and for me it was kind of had a soulful kind of vibe that I liked. And then we just started talking about it, and we said, why don't we call it Inner Ninja? Which the song became called Inner Ninja, which was a weird thing to call it. We talked about it for a long time, going back and forth on whether it was a bad idea or a good idea, and then we just decided, you know what, let's just do it. Let's just go for it. It's going to be about inner strength. It's going to be about, you know, taking the bull by the horns in your own life, that kind of thing. And so that's what happened. He wrote his verses, then we wrote the chorus and put a children's choir on. I mean, we just went full out. Like, we were laughing so hard putting this song together. But we knew it was different, and we knew it was special, And then the song went out and it just went nuts. Just
was it released in conjunction with any sort of campaign or anything? Or just...
No. You know, I mean, if anything, there was a couple things that I would say helped the timing of it. One was the anti-bullying movement. It became an anti-bullying song. Wasn't our intention when we wrote it. But that's fine, of course. It's a great thing for it to have been taken up by that. It was a great cause, obviously. So we were happy about that. And the other thing is, I think that with the success of Macklemore, with Thrift Shop, that song just blew things open in a way that it was such a fun song. It was such a fun song to party to and to listen to that I think that there was a bit of an opening there in terms of radio and everything else. Classified had some pretty big Canadian radio hits. This was just a different level. And then it got signed to Atlantic Records, so we got to travel down here. I went to, you know, New York City, went to The Source magazine and performed at The Source. And all these insane moments. I'm a hip-hop fan. I have been my whole life. And it was these were moments that were pretty surreal to go into, like, The Source office as you know, tall, skinny dude with glasses, playing a guitar, plays trumpet, like
wearing a suit,
singer songwriter wearing a suit. And I always wore the suit.
Not a tracksuit. You know, do you have a tracksuit for
that? Literally, we talked about it. It was a good, it's funny that you asked that because my brother was like, hey man, you got to get a tracksuit. And we joked about it. We were like, maybe we get, and then you know what? Ultimately, it was a great moment. It was a great moment in pop music and for me about understanding hip hop and everything else, which was that Classified and I talked about this. And he was like, you know what? You got to just do your thing. Like, the minute you try to be something you're not, it's just not going to work. People are going to see through it. And I felt the same way. And it was absolutely the right thing to do. If anything, the whole experience just showed me how important it is to not fake it.
Yeah.
Especially when things start to gain momentum, because people are easy to jump on it and go, what's this garbage, you know?
Well, and what's interesting about the tune, and you can find the video on YouTube, is that when it comes to the hook, you're not anything different than you are sitting here today playing your folk songs. It's the same kind of delivery, it's the same sort of affect, but yet it's laid over the top of a vastly different kind of song.
Yeah, and that's been my entire interest in working with Classified. And I work with him all the time, and this is, you know, this is a guy who now I've made a pop EP with him right around the same time. We haven't really stopped working for the last few years. Every time I'm home and he's home, we'll work on stuff. And we have a new EP that's coming out in the new year. And it's for that exact reason. It's this weird thing that even though it's so different sonically from what I do, the bare bones of it are exactly the same. Mm. I play an electric guitar instead of an acoustic guitar, but I play an electric guitar at home all the time. I play it live. I play it straight through. I sing it live. It's no more, you know, manufactured.
Yeah.
But it's with a guy who grew up making beats in the 90s. He's sitting there using an MPC. And I'm sitting there playing electric guitar. I mean, if anything, we're still out of touch. This is contemporary for me, but we're still about 25 years late. But we're having a blast. We are. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about how you got involved doing radio.
Well, the radio thing was interesting. I mean, I tell stories in my show. The show that I do is very much an old-style show that involves stories and... Sorry.
I mean, I was just going to say, so are you, like, the host? Do you just sit in a chair and other people run the show? Or do you actually spin the tunes and run the control board and everything?
I don't run the control board. Okay. No, there's a tech. There's a producer of the show.
And you have people for that.
I have one person, and he's great, and he's been doing it for years. He's a veteran at the CBC, you know. And so basically, based on my show, based on having... when I say my show, I mean my live show as a singer-songwriter. I tell stories and do this kind of thing. And so I think that the CBC, they saw that and went, you know what, you'd be good at radio, so let's try to find a way. So they offered me the job of hosting this East Coast music show, and I went, yeah, sure. It almost killed me because I was so busy last year, and it was a weekly show, and I was on the road about 150 days. So it was crazy, but now we're doing specials. It's been really cool. So it's me interviewing musicians about the music they make, and now we do a special, so I actually play with them. I interview them, and we play a song at the end together and do lots of cool stuff like that. It's really fun.
So extracted from your show, albums of the year.
From the East Coast?
From the music that you play on your show, what would you pick as maybe one, two, or three
albums
of the year?
That's a great question. I would say, I think both of them, I would say a few of them are touring in the States and the records are available. One is Hey Rosetta.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Really great band from Newfoundland. They're a rock band of 7-piece, I think. Really great singer, songwriter. Another one is Jen Grant. Jen Grant is a singer-songwriter from Halifax. She put out this kind of psychedelic folk record that's really tremendous. And the other one that I'm really partial to is Old Man Ludica.
Mm-hmm. We play his new record. Yep.
Yeah, he's one of my best friends too. I mean, all of this is the thing, is that the community's not very big. I've been at it for a long time. These people are all my friends. That's the disclaimer. But Ludica's record, that record is just beautiful. It's him and Tim O'Brien. And Tim O'Brien is such a master and a perfect partner for Old Man Ludica. So I love his new record too.
The Yodel Lady tune is great.
He played it at my wedding.
Did he really?
Yeah, he played that song at my wedding. It's funny that you say that. It's one of my favorite songs. Yeah, we got married 7 years ago, and he had that song 7 years ago, and I was like, man, you gotta play it. It was perfect. My wife's family's from Switzerland. It all worked together. It was great.
One other thing I want to ask you about before I let you go. An artist here in the States that has been a big, big fan of Christmas is Sufjan Stevens. He's actually done a couple of box sets of Christmas songs, and they're not overly produced, overly cheesy. They're just really earnest Christmas songs. You have done something similar, correct? With originals.
That's right. That, yeah.
It takes some chutzpah to write some holiday songs on your own, because a lot of them, there are too many of them, first of all, and a lot of them don't stick.
No, I loved it. I loved it, man. I can't believe it that I enjoyed it. So I waited a long time, and then I went, okay, how am I going to do this? Because this is the kind of, I was comfortable with the idea of doing it. I loved the challenge of being limited in the subject matter. It was as if you told every painter in the world they have to paint a tree. At one point, you can do whatever you want with the tree, but it's gotta be a tree. And it's like that with Christmas songs. It's like, you can do whatever you want, but it should be, the theme should be seasonal. And so I loved it. The other thing I thought that was really made it even trickier though, is that you're putting, I did sing classic songs too. So all of a sudden you're going up against, you know, in a track lineup, up beside Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire.
Mel Torme wrote that, right? Yeah.
Exactly. These songs are legendary. They're beautiful. They're perfect songs. So if you don't bring your A game, you're going down. You're going to have a couple really crappy tracks on your album, and everybody's going to go, oh, yeah, those are the originals. So I work like a dog. And it's a weird thing. I honestly think the three originals on my record are probably among my strongest songs ever. I love the fact that Sufjan Stevens did that. I love the fact that he opened things up and said, you know what, this is... It's a legitimate kind of place to be making music. I always felt like that. I love Nat King Cole's record. I love that Christmas record.
Mm-hmm.
Those are great. You know, it's just that, as you said, too much of it's been made. People make them too quick. They make bad Christmas records.
Yeah. Did you have an image in mind of what, you know, what your perspective was going to be of the holiday when you were writing the songs, or are they all different?
No. They were all a little different. I did want to keep the kind of hopefulness of the season without it being, I wanted it to be secular. I was choosing songs that were about Christmas and what I thought the values of Christmas were without going too far down any particular religious road. So for me, that was part of it. You know, I did want to kind of talk about family and talk about home and talk about time away from working. The kind of, for me, Christmas is a counter to so many other things, which is the pace of our regular life, and it kind of gives you a chance to reflect. Those are the kind of things I wanted to focus on. But I also wanted to write, I wrote one fun song, like, and it was called Santa Never Brings Me a Banjo. And that was because I love Roger Miller so much. I love that playfulness in writing like that. And it's one of, I think it's probably one of my strongest songs because of that, but it was such a fun song to write. So it was a nice thing to open myself up to.
Yeah, nothing like This Will Be a Hip Hop Christmas or anything like that.
Yeah, no, I haven't I haven't gone there. There's some amazingly crazy Christmas records out there. I did so much research, and as you were mentioning, like, there's just some wild stuff. But so that's what makes it fun.
David Miles is my guest today, live here on Jefferson Public Radio. His newest record is called So Far. David, it's been a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for coming by and doing this with us.
Oh, thank you so much.
Will you play us one more?
I will. Yeah. I was saying this morning, I just played at a school in Camas Valley, and had a great time playing for high school students. When I was playing for them, I said, my dream is to have Willie Nelson sing this someday. Since the day I wrote it, this was a song that I always thought that he'd sing just beautifully. But until then, I'll sing it, because I love singing it too. Well, I'm getting old, but I'm not old yet. I'm already worried that I might forget how to laugh, how to love, how to live, how to learn. I want to die with a smile when it comes my turn. I don't want to get weary, I don't want to get bored. I don't want to get tired walking down this road. I've seen that happen so many times. I just want to believe that it's still worth trying, cause I'm getting old, but I'm not old yet. I'm already worried that I might forget how to laugh, how to love, how to live, how to learn. I want to die with a smile when it comes my turn. But I know that it's easier said than done, and I ain't that different from anyone. I worry about my money, I got bills that I can't pay. I swear I'm more like my father every day. And I'm getting old, but I'm not old yet. I'm already worried that I might forget how to laugh, how to love, how to live, how to learn. I wanna die with a smile when it comes my turn. Maybe I'll start bowling, maybe I'll play bridge. Maybe I'll join a band with my own grandkids. I don't care if it kills me, I'm gonna do what it takes to keep some warmth in my heart and a smile on my face. Cause I'm getting old, but I'm not old yet. I'm already worried that I might forget how to laugh, how to love, how to live, how to learn. I wanna die with a smile when it comes my turn. Whoa, I'm getting old, but I'm not old yet. I'm already worried that I might forget how to laugh, how to love, how to live, how to learn. I wanna die with a smile when it comes my turn. I wanna die with a smile when it comes my turn. I wanna die with a smile when it comes my turn.
When It Comes My Turn, that is David Miles live on Jefferson Public Radio, a tune from his record called So Far. David, it has been a lot of fun having you in here today. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.